Our gospel lesson for this morning is a very familiar parable, and as we hear it, it comes from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 10, and listen for ways that God may be speaking in new and different ways as we hear this ancient text. When a great crowd gathered and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for this time we have to come and hear your word read and proclaimed. We ask that you open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds as we hear what you have to say to us today. And Lord, I cannot bring this message on my own, so I ask that you hide me behind your cross and speak through me in spite of me. Amen. So I'm going to ask you all the same question I asked the kids. Raise your hand if you planted something this summer. I think whenever it gets to be springtime, we all seem to have this urge to plant stuff and see if we can make it grow. And I know every year I always try to make myself have a green thumb, even though I don't think I'm one of those that naturally has one. But it seems like some of us have this natural ability to keep things alive, while others of us can't seem to, no matter how hard we try. This summer, my husband and I decided we were going to try out apartment balcony gardening. We bought some good potting soil, planted some tomatoes, cucumbers, and peppers, and we did our very best to water them regularly. We waited all summer to reap the harvest of our hard work. And even though we tried to care for those seeds as best we could, our garden didn't exactly succeed like we hoped. All we had to show for our hard work was 3 bell peppers and some very green plants that never produced any fruit. Maybe we watered them too much, or our plants didn't get enough sunlight. But for whatever reason, we realized that we might not know as much about gardening as we thought. Our parable today is all about planting seeds and what it takes for a seed to grow and produce fruit. As the crowd that gathered around Jesus was listening to this parable, most likely all of them were very familiar with the concept of farming and sowing seed. Tons of people were farmers back then. Farming was their main option for having food and providing for their families. So the people hearing this parable had a good understanding of what is needed to produce a good crop. They knew about how to sow seed, how to till and prepare the soil to make sure it's good and ready. And they knew that all seeds require a certain amount of sunlight and water. But despite their knowledge of farming, everyone was left a little puzzled by this parable. They understood why a seed wouldn't grow well in shallow, rocky soil, or why it would get choked up if it was surrounded by thorns. But what probably really puzzled them was the farmer's method for planting these seeds. Anyone who knows much about farming or gardening knows that it's inefficient and risky to just throw seeds around wherever you can. Seeds cost money. So whenever a farmer sows their seed, they're going to try their hardest to get most of the seed onto the best possible soil. So what is the deal with this farmer just scattering seed everywhere? Why is he willing to be so reckless and let his seed fall onto rocks, thorns, and dry paths? The tricky thing about parables is that we know that Jesus isn't just talking about seeds and soil here. Somehow we fit into this story. And our task at hand is to figure out what Jesus means and see where we find ourselves in the story. Most biblical scholars agree that when interpreting this parable, the seed represents the word of God. Whenever God's truth and promise of love is proclaimed or lived out through action, a seed is planted in the hearts of those who hear and feel God's presence. And the farmer in this parable represents God. And God uses us to plant seeds whenever we work to be the body of Christ in the world. And then we have the different types of soil. There's the path where the birds came and snatched up any seed that had been planted. There's the rocky soil that didn't have enough moisture for the seed to take root. And there's soil made up of lots of thorns that take over the seed and keep it from growing any bigger. Whenever I've heard this passage preached on, I've usually heard this parable explained as the rocky soil being a life without Jesus, a life spent in temptation and not in church, while good soil is life grounded in church, the Bible, and prayer. The moral of the story is usually if you find yourself in rocky soil, then make an effort to pray and come to church, and your soil will become good again. And while there's a lot of truth in that explanation, I happen to think this parable goes a lot deeper than that, and it can be kind of complicated. It's true that our lives become good soil when we spend time with God and love and serve our neighbors. But sometimes we just don't have control over where the rocks and thorns fall in our lives. Sometimes, no matter how much we come to church, pray, and read our Bible, life circumstances cause a bunch of thorns to pile up on us. I recently heard about a time when a pastor was asking his congregation what kind of soil they were. And instead of taking the traditional explanation of this passage, he took a different approach. He talked about how in his neighborhood, there aren't a lot of kids with advantages. Most were poor, and those who weren't still had bad schools to attend. Those who actually did graduate had very few job possibilities when they got out. He said there are thorns and rocks all around. We have to get our hands in the soil. We have to dig in that dirt. We have to pull up those rocks. We have to root out those thorns. And it'll hurt, he promised. But if we do, we can turn bad soil into good, so that it will then bear a crop for Jesus. Sometimes we find ourselves living a rich life in good soil, where few obstacles stand in our way of truly knowing and understanding the love of God. But sometimes we find ourselves facing challenges that throw all kinds of rocks and thorns into our lives. Maybe those thorns are caused by poverty and never feeling like we have enough. Or a rock is an illness that just won't seem to heal. As Christians, we have the power to help turn bad soil into good. And as followers of Jesus, we aren't called to go find the good soil and stay there. We're called to embrace where God has placed us and work to turn whatever ground we may be standing in into good and fruitful soil. If it were up to us to plant seeds, we would act on our own human instincts and only plant in the very best soil. We'd strategize like the modern farmers do today, and we wouldn't risk throwing seeds on rocky ground or thorns out of fear that nothing would happen and our efforts would go to waste. But thankfully, God doesn't think like we do. God knows that his love can take root and grow and thrive in the most unlikely of places. God doesn't pick and choose where we should love and serve. He calls us to love and serve others everywhere, even in the driest of dirt. When the Hinton mission team and I were serving on our trip, each team worked with a family who had all kinds of thorns thrown into their lives. In the family my team worked with, the illness of a spouse caused financial trouble that then caused the family to fall deeper and deeper into the hole of poverty. The family would hear and see the promise and love of God only to be stopped by another challenge or thorn that came their way. And in the grand scheme of things, the work we did for the families that week was only a small portion of what they truly need. But for 1 week, we were blessed with the opportunity to come and stand beside our brothers and sisters in their pain and their challenges. We got our hands dirty, dug in the dirt together, and worked to break apart those rocks just a little bit more so that the soil of their lives could have the chance to become better and they could truly have the chance to come to know and believe the promises that God has for them. Some of the families involved with the Hinton Center seemed to have so many hardships that it didn't seem like anyone could help. There were just too many rocks piled up. But every little bit does make a difference. And God keeps using work teams through Hinton to come and slowly help transform that dry soil back into good. No matter what kind of circumstance we find ourselves in, God calls us to make where we are better, to face the obstacles, to hold a neighbor's burdens, and to get our hands dirty. Also that together, we can break apart those rocks and those thorns and make room for God's seeds of love to grow and spread. The funny and beautiful thing about soil is that it actually needs a good balance of rocks, thorns, and twigs to be truly life-giving. Soil shouldn't be perfect. A few rocks help provide extra filtration for the water as it nourishes the seed. And as thorns and twigs break down and die, they provide extra nutrients and depth to the soil. The rocks and thorns that we face in our lives sometimes pile up too high, causing our hearts to harden and for us to forget that God loves us. But once they have been broken down and our lives aren't consumed by those challenges, the experiences we have faced are what help us to truly believe and trust in God's word. So what kind of soil are you living in? Is it good, rich soil with few challenges and temptations? Or do you find yourself surrounded by different kinds of rocks and thorns? Our job as the church is to see the potential where we are and to come together ready and willing to get our hands dirty and work to break away any rocks that may be getting in the way of all that God is doing around us. As we find ourselves helping to make a difference, we'll also find that our own life and our own soil becomes a little more rich and healthy. What a good thing it is to know that we serve a God who doesn't pick and choose, and who still goes and plants his seeds on rocks and thorns. God never stops planting seeds around us. May we all continue to let God work through us so that together we can help turn bad and dry soil back into good. And the seeds of God's love will grow and spread in even the most unlikely of places. Amen.